This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 65. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and with us this week is, first off, got to mention Jimmy Smith of jimmysmithtraining.com, and also don't forget his Blogspot account too, because
nice.
If you want to check out the show notes, you can get his whole blog address through that. Also, returning this week is Tony Gentlecore, who missed us last week because he was moving, but he's back this week for the show.
Oh, man, you have no idea. I almost died last weekend in a car accident. So that's a big reason why I didn't make it. Yeah, the move went smoothly outside of that, so I'm back.
I'm glad it all went well. Also, we have Keith Scott of KeithScottTraining.com. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We know you've been extremely busy as well. I mean, you're all over the place right now, Keith.
All over the place, yeah. I mean, very busy at work and doing all kinds of things. So, yeah, I mean, and that's a good thing. Not too bad.
And last but not least, our special guest this week, we have Joel Marion, who, if you don't know already, he has a new book that's out called The Cheat to Lose Diet. You've probably seen his articles also on TNation.com in the last couple weeks and last couple months. But Joel, it's a huge pleasure to finally get you on the show. How's it going, man?
Going real well. I mentioned a little disappointing to see the Eagles lose today, but other than that, I'm doing well, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, for all of our international listeners, this is the pretty much the kickoff day for the NFL, so it's a big day for a lot of people in the United States, and also I guess there's got to be some football fans up in Canada, although they have their own football league. But that's pretty much why we're excited this week. Let's jump quickly into some FitCast news. First off, I sent out a newsletter and also posted on the site. If you haven't already checked out the Lift Strong CD from Alan Cosgrove, and I know a lot of you guys contributed to the CD itself. Basically, it's to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And basically, in the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to think of a way where I can kind of raise some money, and for LLS, and also in the future, I want to try to do something for Parkinson's research. But right now, I'm offering a FitCast Insider package that's $75, which includes all of the FitCast Insider audio interviews that have been done up to this date, and also the huge 500 megabyte Dan John squat technique video that, I mean, it's been all over the internet. It's been watched over 30,000 times on Google Video. You get that included as well. And the package itself costs $75, with $50 going to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Hopefully, I want to try to get that up to $55. It depends on if we go over the bandwidth bill for myself this month. And that also raises another concern that we can only offer 20 of these packages per month, because I'm scared about how much I'm going to go over my bandwidth allotment. So if you want, please head over to thefitcast.com, and you can pick up that package. You'll have direct downloads to those. It comes in one huge zip file for all the audio content. It also includes some of the downloadable spreadsheets and some things that were extras for the FitCast Insider. So make sure to check that out. It's for a great cause, and the goal really is to raise $1,000, and if we can hit that, I'll be extremely proud. And again, it's a huge testament also to Alan Cosgrove and Lift Strong, which has already raised a couple thousand dollars themselves, and they've been doing a fantastic job through that. So that's pretty much my spiel. Next up, I want to quickly mention first Tony. I know you had an article on T-Nation this week. Do you just want to quickly go over that, what it was all about?
Absolutely. What it was, actually a couple months ago, PC, the editor of T-Nation, contacted all of us contributors and wanting us to like kind of start contributing more program content to the site as far as what we were writing. And you know, that was kind of my contribution. He made a point saying it didn't have to have any rhyme or reason. He just wanted to kick people's asses, so to speak. So with this program, I actually isn't just one I just made up out of nowhere. It's actually one that I use with clients at a few clubs I've worked at. And unlike a lot of programs that you may read, it can be done within an hour and 15 minutes. It isn't. I mean, I read a lot of programs, and it's, you know, it's like god awful long, and it's like how people can get it done in under 2 hours. I often wonder, but basically, it's just a program that I've used with quite a bit of success with some of my clients. They've gotten stronger, they've gotten leaner, and really, that's what it's all about. So that's basically what the gist of the program was, and what the article was about.
Well, that's great, and also everyone, of course, it's still on the front page at teennation.com, so head over there, and also I'll have a link for it in the show notes. And while we have Joel on the show, Joel, you also had an article on teennation this week. Do you just want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure thing, yeah. The article was called Plateau Busters, and it was basically an article that detailed a number of different shock training methods to kind of prevent or overcome, you know, the principle of adaptation, so you can continue to make progress even if you hit a training plateau. Some of the ones that we went over in the article include, like, supersets and drop sets, and give some drop set and superset protocols there, and something called insider contrast that Christian Thibodeau was actually had included in his Black Book of Training Secrets. That that's where I first learned about it. I've used it with some clients with some good success, and detail some of Christian's insider contrast training protocols in the article. And towards the end of the article, I get into a few things that that are typically thought of as shock training methods or plateau busting methods that I think that aren't quite as worthwhile doing, such as force reps and super slow trainings, and I get into the rationale behind that. So definitely head over to teenation.com and check out that article. You should pick up some valuable tips.
Yeah, you guys are, like, dominating teenation front page still, it seems like. Not only Jimmy and Tony, but also Joel, you've been having some great stuff up there lately. Everyone should be checking out teenation.com. Monday through Friday, there's always, if not one, there's sometimes two articles up there. So make sure to check that out. Great resource. And also, a little plug for myself, I will have an article up on teenation this week. I got a confirmation that it's kind of a quick one. It's a nice kind of basic article on how to save some money when you go shopping for your food. So make sure to check that out, and hopefully that will bring together some great discussions. All right. Next piece is that I was actually on another podcast last week. It's the Jobacle podcast. That's JOBACLE.com. Their episode number 70. I basically just talked about some nutrition tips and some things you can do in the office. So if you're interested in that, feel free to check it out. It's a whole podcast pretty much about jobs, hence the name Jobacle, I guess. And last but not least, before we jump into the Q&A, I want to quickly mention that Ryan Patrick, who's a listener to the show, he's 2 weeks out for his competition, and he is looking great. So just a shout out to you, Ryan. I saw a picture of you on Facebook, and looking damn good, man. And good luck, and let us know how it goes, all right? And maybe we'll even get you on the show if you win, all right? Well, before we jump into the Q&A, quickly just want to run through our sponsors. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com boosts muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Don't forget to check out the TTMembers.com site if you haven't already. Next up, BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget you can save 10% with the code FIT10. That's FIT10 when you throw it in the comments at checkout. Tons of great products at BlackStarLabs.com. And I just got an email from someone who is another happy customer of their Extreme Formulations ICE products, their branched-chain amino acid and glutamine product. So something you can go check out and pick up. Again, that's BlackStarLabs.com. And last but not least, RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High-octane corrective performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. All right. Now we got that out of the way, let's get into the meat of the show, which is the Q&A with Joel. So, Joel, first off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Most people know me as the Body for Life guy that has since wandered over to the dark side. But I did, back in 2001, win that contest, Body for Life, Bill Phillips. Most people are familiar. That was kind of where I got my foot in the door in the industry. I was 19 years old at the time, undergrad at the College of New Jersey. During that time, over the last 5 years, really, I've authored over 100 articles. I'm a regular contributor to TNation.com and also Men's Fitness. Had articles featured in Women's Day. And before Muscle Media ceased publication, I was contributing one to two articles to them. That's the EAS Partner Magazine. That was one of the biggest fitness magazines at the time. I'm also a certified sports nutritionist through the International Society of Sports Nutrition and a certified personal trainer through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. I run an online diet and fitness consulting business where we develop custom programming for a variety of clients such as doctors, lawyers, models, athletes, businessmen and women, and just plenty of regular everyday people who are looking to improve their physique and just look better naked. Also, through online training, I've had the very fortunate opportunity to train people all over the world, including the vast majority of the United States, Japan, Australia, Lebanon, Belgium, Hungary, Ireland, England, Mexico, New Zealand, and as well as plenty of Canadian provinces. So I've kind of been all over the place there. And you can learn more about the services that I offer at joelmarion.net. That's my homepage.
Well, Joel, we got a bunch of emails in regards to this subject, but it seems to be a question that a lot of our guests get. But the question is, currently, what does your training regimen look like?
Right now, I'm pretty much my major goals right now are concentrating on staying lean. Probably put I could definitely always use a few more extra pounds of muscle mass. So my calorie intake is in that moderate level, maybe a slight surplus. As far as training is concerned, I concentrate on moderate to high volume work with an undulated approach. That's pretty popular in my writing as well. And so I kind of do follow my own advice, where I take about 2 to 3 days per week, train heavy, something like 8 sets of 4 or a 3-2-1 wave workout, and then the other 2 to 3 days per week, I'll lift light with something like a 6x10, 6 sets of 10 or drop sets and some supersets thrown in there. I've been concentrating on the same exercises that I've kind of been doing for over maybe almost 2 years now. Just the big core exercises, the bench press, dips, rows, shoulder press for the upper body, and things like squats, deads, lunges, and even throwing a leg press every once in a while. I know a lot of people aren't fans, but as far as for hypertrophy, I think, as far as functionality, it may be a little not so great, but as far as hypertrophy, you can definitely do some damage to the lower body with that. Really just been concentrating on those core lifts, those exercises. Been consistent with that for quite a long time now, and working with that undulated approach with heavy and light protocol.
Joel, I have a quick question, actually, because I know back in 2001 when you won the Body for Life contest, I mean, what was the weight difference from your start to end? Because I know you put on quite a bit of mass during that time.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of interesting because what people don't see is the before picture.
Oh, I saw the before. before picture.
Yeah. The before picture, I actually entered the contest twice, back to back. And the one that I won was the second half of that. And the first half, most people think, they see my before picture that I'm some ectomorphic guy who is has extremely high metabolism and very resistant to fat storage, which is not the case at all. I'm more endo than I am an ecto. But prior to that initial run where I actually won the contest, I was overweight. I was in the gym trying to get myself together, spending way too much time in the gym, not getting much done as far as, it was a very productive time. But during that time, when I learned about Body for Life, I went and I actually lost about probably 20 to 25 pounds of body fat. Unfortunately, I lost quite a bit of muscle mass with it, which led me to that before picture that you see in 2001. And from that 12-week period, it was actually the weight gain was 22.5 pounds net of lean body mass.
And that's in a span
since
of,
then, it's been quite a bit more.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, you've gotten your weight up to above 250, right?
I was at 265 and rather lean at one point, you know, probably about 10%.
But, yeah, so
Since then, I've dropped down quite a little, you know, a little bit, but haven't
so
been
it,
as.
Long story short, it is possible to put the weight on. Cause, I mean, I deal with a lot of young athletes who, you know, they just think it's impossible to put weight on, and I just constantly tell them, like, listen, it's doable. You just got to put the work in.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, no,
absolutely.
I just remember, like, you, I mean, you've gotten over 250 pounds. I mean, you're not just you know, dieting girl who doesn't look like you lift weights. Like you put your time in under the bar. So,
absolutely.
Well, just going back in regards to your training, you mentioned that you've been doing more or less the same exercises for the last year, and I know you've written about this in the past. Can you just tell our listeners about your philosophy on why trainees should frequently change their exercise selection?
Sure. Really, a lot of people will change their exercises, but you really have to ask the question, or any time that you're doing something in your training, you have to analyze, why am I doing this? And most people will give you the response that, you know, I don't want my body to get used to the workouts that I'm doing. I don't want my body to get used to these exercises, so I'm going to switch it up, and that's going to, you know, switch the stress that is placed on the muscle. However, unfortunately, you know, the body doesn't really care if you're doing a bicep curl or a preacher curl or whatever type of curling exercise you're doing, or a bench press or a dumbbell bench press. It just senses that there is a stressor that is put on that particular muscle group that you're working. So, and granted, I know that there are different variations of exercises which may hit a different head of a muscle and all that, but overall the stress difference between one exercise and the other for one particular muscle group is small. So instead of concentrating on manipulating exercises, and here's the other downfall about manipulating exercises or switching up your exercises too frequently, is you take away from the principle of specificity, which is, you know, specific training brings about specific results. If I want to increase my bench press, I'm going to need to bench press, right? And when you're constantly changing your chest exercise selection up, you don't spend enough quality time with one lift to really get good at it. And as far as motor learning is concerned, and also just increasing the poundage on that, you know, you switch over to a dumbbell bench and then maybe get a little stronger on that, and then you go back over to a regular barbell bench, and you know, you notice that the last weight that you're using, you're not able to put it up anymore. So concentrate on really working with the principle of specificity by keeping exercises the same. Also, the question comes up: if I'm not going to switch the exercises, and if that's not working, then how am I going to manipulate or change the stressor that I'm putting on the muscle so I can overcome this principle of adaptation? We manipulate something called the stress-related variables, and these are the variables, training variables, that are directly related to the stress that's put on the muscle, such things like time under tension, load, rest periods, and density. And it seems like a lot to manipulate, but it's actually kind of very easy just by manipulating sets and reps. So instead of focusing on manipulating or constantly changing the exercise selection, we manipulate sets and reps instead. Just to give an example of what I'm talking about, if you're going from doing 5 sets of 10 to 10 sets of 5, okay, obviously what's going to happen? Now you're doing 10 sets with a 5-rep maximum, which means the load is going to increase. That's a stress-related variable. The time under tension per set, because you're doing less reps, is going to decrease. Your rest periods are probably going to increase a little bit than when you were doing the lighter work, because you're working with heavier weight. And the density of the workout is also manipulated. That's going to decrease somewhat because the workout's going to be a little bit longer. It's going to take longer to do 10 sets overall with longer rest periods than it will to do 5 sets.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, it's just manipulating sets and reps while working with the principle of specificity by keeping exercises the same.
Just a quick question onto that. For your clients, do you have any like rep ranges that you like to stay within? If you have someone starting off with a squat like deadlift or bench, are there any rep ranges that you just tend to always start off with?
Well, I have to analyze where the person's starting at, you know, whether they're a beginner or intermediate, advanced athlete, someone who has been doing bodybuilding training and familiar with the lifts. I always stress start off with a lower weight until you get used to the movement. If you're a beginner, once you start to have that motor learning, then you can, you know, that motor learning that occurs, and you become more comfortable with the lift, then you can increase the weight from there. So really, I have to take a look at, you know, each case individually. That's one of the things that's nice about customized program design, that you're getting something that's tailored specific to you.
Now, let's talk about your new book, The Cheat to Lose Diet. First off, I mean, just tell us a little bit about it, and what's the philosophy of the book?
All right, the book's called The Cheat to Lose Diet, and it's kind of self-explanatory title. It teaches you how to use your favorite foods, like all your favorites, pizza, ice cream, and things that, you know, we think of when we think of what really good food is, to actually accelerate fat loss during a diet. Now, it seems kind of counterintuitive, that, you know, the whole concept of cheating to lose fat faster, but counterintuitive is exactly what we need, because take a look at where the logical approach has gotten us. You know, we've gone with this common sense approach to nutrition for how long now? And continually, year after year after year, all these diets come out, you know, and they're one slightly different from the next, but really they're all the same, because they all revolve around the principle of calorie restriction. You know, eat less and you'll lose weight. Well, if that was the case, then we'd probably have a lot less people who are fat out there, and a lot more people who are successful with diets, because a lot of people have given that an honest go. It's just not working for them. So I think, you know, the philosophy is, let's break away from the norm. Let's break away from what has been out there for so long now, and ask the question, what if I start doing something different? And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with this book, is bring a new way of dieting into you know, the forefront, so that people can learn how to work with their body instead of against it, like most diets do.
So would it be fair to classify this as like a generally why you're not cheating, a low-carb diet in a sense?
There are a couple low-carb days per week, but I would the other days of the week there are plenty of carbohydrates, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about the weekly setup.
Definitely.
In a little bit, but as far as it being a low-carb diet, I would not call it that at all. It is very far from that.
Well, as we go more in depth, can you talk about the science behind why this program works?
Sure. The program works about by manipulating the anti-starvation hormone leptin. When you go on a diet, hormone leptin falls. That sends a signal to your brain that, hey, I'm not getting enough food. I'm in a semi-starved state, or I'm in a starved state, and your body enters starvation mode, which means the metabolism slows, your daily energy expenditure slows, and instead of your body burning the fat, it is now holding on to the body fat that you're trying to lose. And this happens anytime that you restrict calories, because leptin levels are directly correlated with your calorie intake. So this is why dieting for the general population, and the way this whole idea of eating less to lose weight doesn't work, because you're actually, your body will fight back as soon as you go on a diet this way. Now, the research has shown that it takes about a week for leptin and metabolism to drop off considerably, but it only takes one day of increasing your calorie level or cheating on your diet to bring those levels back up to baseline. So that means come the following week and every week thereafter, you're going to be starting the week off with high metabolism, baseline levels of leptin and other important fat-burning hormones, as opposed to other programs out there in which you're constantly in a state of calorie restriction, and week after week after week, metabolism is just getting slower and slower.
You share a story in the book about how you actually stumbled upon the approach by accident. Can you just talk a little bit about that story?
Yeah, that's something I should. I make light about. There's a section in the introduction called "This Diet Was Developed by a Screw Up," which is essentially true, in the fact that I was on a quest to get in the best shape of my life. Is back in 2002. You know, it was after the Body for Life contest. It kind of was more relaxed for a few months, put on a little bit body fat. But I had a photo shoot to get ready for, and I really needed to buckle down and make some really good progress in a few month period. Well, it was about 3 weeks into the diet, you know, calorie restriction, just your typical regular bodybuilder diet, I guess, just eating less food, eating plenty of protein, all that stuff. About 3 weeks into the diet, I hit a wall where I stopped losing fat and weight. You know, the scale was stuck, the needle was in the same place, you know, every day when I was hopping on the scale. And I just started to become frustrated. And over the course of the next few weeks after that, it was the same story. You know, I wasn't losing any additional weight. So I hit a pretty nasty plateau. As far, you know, I was putting in all the work as far as exercise and getting plenty of physical activity in the diet. I thought I was doing everything perfectly, but it wasn't working. So what ended up happening was, I went to a party at a friend of mine's house, and they had a ton of food there, and everyone knows Joel for his appetite, so I was, you know, I lived up to my reputation that night, and I pretty much ate everything inside. They had all kinds of pasta, Italian breads, and all this Italian food there. So I went to town on that. You know, I felt pretty guilty about it. I was discouraged. From the, I guess you could say I was definitely discouraged from the fact that I wasn't losing any weight, and then in addition to the fact that I just blew my diet even more. It happens sometimes. So I hopped back on, went a few more days of calorie restriction, and then hopped on the scale again. It was kind of weird because I was looking in the mirror and I was like, hey, I don't look too bad. You know, maybe I'm looking a little bit leaner here. Let's see what's happening on the scale. So I stepped on a scale, and I was actually down about 3 pounds, and this was after a good 3-4 weeks of losing no weight. You know, I took some skinfold measurements at that point, and they were all decreased as well as my waist measurements. So that kind of got me thinking, like, what the heck's going on here? I just blew my diet, I thought, and that's actually, you know, where the Cheat to Lose diet was born. You know, from there, it's been years and years of research. That was about 5 years ago in 2002. So I spent the vast majority of the last, you know, three, 4 years researching leptin and other hormones that are involved with weight loss and working with my clients with this protocol that is available in the book. You know, through working with hundreds of clients literally all over the world to perfect the program. I didn't want the book to be out there. You know, I didn't just want to have this idea, and, you know, I wrote a couple articles on it a few years ago, but I didn't want to have a book out there that was, you know, not what I consider to be the most optimal approach. So now I feel pretty confident that, you know, I've more or less perfected it, my approach anyway, by working with these clients over such a long period of time. So it's tested in the scientific realm, and it's also tested in the real world with real people.
And I can attest to that too, Joel, because I went to Vegas 3 weeks ago, and I probably ate more buffets in that week than I have in like 10 years of my life. And not that I was trying to lose weight, or not that I'm trying to lose weight now or get leaned up, but I came back 7 pounds later.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works, man.
A buffet like 3 times, like, so it's absolutely a weird phenomenon, and it's, you know, and the book says it all. It's weird, but, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it works.
Right. Really, you have to. What the book teaches is it teaches you why regular dieting doesn't work and calorie restriction doesn't work. And when you understand why what we've been doing for so long is not working, when you understand why it's not working, then that's when you can really begin to understand why an approach like Cheat to Lose or cheating, you know, scheduling periodic cheat days on your diet can work. Because it's counteracting everything that the other types of diets are doing that are negative.
Hey, Joel, this is Keith. I have a question for you. What would you say a weekly diet of yours would look like, or a diet one of your clients is on, you know, right down to the bare bones of everything?
Sure. I'll concentrate on keeping it, you know, within line with the book and the Cheat to Lose program, so we can talk a little bit about the weekly setup of that. In the beginning of the week, we start off with a low-carb approach to initiate some very quick fat loss after a cheat day. You know, hormone levels are going to be high, metabolism is going to be high, so we can get away with a low-carb approach. Unfortunately, you know, you don't want to stay low-carb for too long because carbohydrates are strongly correlated with insulin and also leptin levels. So the longer you cut those out of your diet, the more damage it's going to end up doing. But we can get, in the beginning of the week, we do use that low-carb approach for 2 days to to really jumpstart fat loss after a cheat day. And also, it helps to clear some of the bloat and the water retention that could occur from indulging in a lot of food over a short period of time. Towards the, as I mentioned, leptin is highly associated with carbohydrates. So towards the middle of the week, we start to reintroduce lower glycemic carbohydrates to give leptin a bump as those levels start to fall off. And then towards the end of the week, we concentrate on manipulating the carbohydrate intake towards the higher glycemic end of things with things like potatoes, pasta, rice, and your whole grains and breads and things of that nature. And then, of course, you have the cheat day at the end of the week. And a lot of people say, you know, well, I can't have a whole pizza or I can't have ice cream. Well, I just get to increase my calorie level a little bit and just eat bodybuilding foods again or you know, diet foods again. No, that's not what I'm recommending. We've actually found by working with hundreds of clients, again, all over the world, that the foods like the pizza and the ice cream and the chocolate chip cookies and all those things that we really think are of as our favorite foods are the ones that work best to because of the insulin response and leptin response to raise metabolism and get things back to where we need to be. So the only restriction that I do give on cheat days is people don't eat to the point of discomfort. So if you are, you know, you're eating and you're enjoying and you're not eating to that point where you're feeling sick, then that's the only major rule that I give. There's also a couple other rules like limiting alcohol consumption and stuff like that. But other than that, it's not very restrictive at all.
So basically, because I know in the past, because I know your past articles and talking to you in the past, it's like in the beginnings, I know you said leptin is very responsive to carbohydrates. But you're saying with the diet that you don't mind them having the ice cream and pizza, or do you ask people to kind of experiment with those approaches to see what they respond best to?
I always recommend that people start off with just being free to eat whatever they want. To go with the all-out, eat whatever you want days to start off with. If you're noticing, and we look at progress from week to week to week, if we're noticing that things aren't progressing as fast as we'd like, then we can look into changing over to a more controlled, like higher glycemic cheat day with a limited fat content, which I have used with some clients who are a little bit more sensitive to those types of foods. That's only about 10% of people, though. 90% really will fare the best with the all-out, eat-whatever-you-want type days.
All right. And on a separate issue with all this, Joel, what in terms of exercise and how do you approach the exercise compound with setting up? Like, do you coincide, exercise selection with the diet? Like, how do you typically approach it with people?
Well, we concentrate on cardiovascular exercise as far as jumpstarting the fat loss is concerned. I leave strength training up to the individual. Most people have a program that they like to follow when they're on a diet, and I just say go ahead and do that. Unless someone is training with me and paying me for my expertise, then obviously I'm going to give them some direction in the weight room as well. But really, the major focus as far as fat loss is concerned, I like to keep the weight training as far as maintaining strength levels and muscle mass and let the cardio take care of the fat loss. We have a HIIT program outlined inside the book called the CTL Cardio Solution, which is an 18-minute workout. And most of your listeners are probably familiar with the HIIT protocol of alternating lower intensity with higher intensity over, many cycles over a given workout. And you can do any particular mode of exercise you like, whether it be as simple as putting on a pair of running shoes and going doing some, intense jogging outside, or skipping rope, the elliptical, the stair step, or the cycle, whatever it is, a rower, whatever it is you like to do inside the gym as well. We strategically time those sessions as well as we strategically time the diet. The HIIT sessions come early in the beginning of the week. They're important on the low-carb days to ramp up physical activity because, again, after a cheat day, the hormones and metabolism is going to be high, and the body's really receptive to burning fat. So the more activity we can get during those first couple of days, the better. And then, obviously, you want to continue that throughout the week. But you can; it's really most important in the beginning of the week during those low-carb days, and then maybe one or two additional sessions of the Cardio Solution towards the end of the week.
Joe, I just wanted to ask you quickly, because I know this is something that people might be asking themselves, because when they start looking at a diet, they might want to wonder what supplements that you recommend, because I know a lot of people recommend a wide variety of different supplements when on certain diets. So is there any selection of supplements that you recommend while on this diet?
I have some staples that I use with a variety of clients. I recommend, obviously, a solid meal replacement powder. I recommend Metabolic Drive from BioTest in the book. We have all types of recipes in the book as well as for protein smoothies. There's like over 20 different ones that are, a lot of them are pretty freaking good. It's like you're having dessert, but in smoothie form, and it's healthy. Metabolic Drive, as far as the meal replacement end is concerned, definitely some fish oil. BioTest is a good product, Flame Out. That's a highly potent fish oil capsule, so you don't have to swallow 12 of these things a day, which can be a pain for some people, and they're, horse pills, so to speak. And, other than that, though, there's plenty of other fish oils on the market, and if you're comfortable with taking more, then you can go ahead and just use one of those generic brands. So the fish oil, the meal replacements, sometimes, and this is getting a little more advanced, add in a fat burner or something like Hot Rocks to kind of just accelerate the fat loss in addition to the efforts you're putting in the gym and on the diet. And then something like BCAAs, branched-chain amino acids, in between meals, in between major meals, I recommend about 5 grams. And that's just to help keep the amino pool in the blood high so that retention of muscle mass is at its peak.
Well, just finishing up, can you just talk a little bit about what's included in the book beyond the diet specifics?
Sure, yeah. There's a lot of information in the book. We have the first half of the book or so is all the science behind the program and the actual program, the outlay, all the specifics of the diet. Second half of the book, there's 12 weeks of meal plans included. There is 75 main meal recipes that most people are familiar with. John Berardi, he did a phenomenal job. He teamed up with me on this project to do the recipes for Cheat to Lose Diet. And he did somewhere around 25 low-carb, 25 lower glycemic, and 25 higher glycemic main meal recipes, the breakfast, lunch, and dinners. Then there's also a section for quick snacks, recipes, and then the over 20 protein smoothie recipes. So there's something like 100 recipes you get, 12 weeks of daily menus, so if you want to follow the menus exactly, you just bang, 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 follow it down the list, and it takes all the guesswork out of the equation as far as prepping your own meals and all that stuff. So it really is comprehensive in that nature. You really are getting a pretty extensive, comprehensive program just for the small price of, $17 at Amazon or whatever it is. It's definitely well worth it, especially if you don't have the type of money to invest in personal coaching online.
Wrapping this, bringing this all together, something that we didn't even talk about is where can people pick up the book?
The book is available everywhere from Borders to Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com has it at 32% off or something like that, so $16 and change there. You can check it at your local bookstore. They'll probably have some copies there. And if you're just more comfortable purchasing online, you can hit up Amazon.com and then just do a basic search for my name, Joel Marion, or Cheat to Lose Diet, and it'll come right up. Also, we just launched our website, CheatToLoseDiet.com, which is an online community. I just had the opportunity to go through a walkthrough through the entire site just a couple weeks ago. And there are so many tools available that just make dieting and logs and all that type of thing so much easier. Really is a very extensive tool, and it's only a few bucks a week to join and get access to all those tools. But at CheatToLoseDiet.com, you also have a link where you can purchase the book there as well through Amazon.
Very good. Well, Joel, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about the new book, and I hope to have you on again in the future if you would come back on some other time.
Absolutely, man, and maybe next time we can concentrate a little bit more on the training end of things.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our interview with Joel. If you want to check out all the information that we talked about on during the interview, you can check out the fitcast.com. I'll have links for everything that Joel talked about as well, so make sure to hit that up. So that'll pretty much wrap it up for us. Joel, again, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, man. It's been my pleasure, and great to be here.
All right, well, we just finished up the interview with Joel, and I want to actually jump into a question that came from one of our listeners who is part of our FitCast Facebook group. And it comes from Alan, and he said, good latest show, and he had a few questions in regards to what was said. He asks, what is Jimmy's definition of a high-fat diet, and at what percentage of calories ingested do you guys consider it at what percent of calories ingested do you guys start to consider it a high-fat diet? So, Jimmy, this is all yours.
Generally, diet, our really, really general recommendations, probably anywhere from, well, my fat diet to be anywhere from about 25 to 30% of total, like the macronutrient breakdown. Anything above that, it's going to be a high-fat diet. I'm going to consider it. Again, obviously, you have to look at how your fat's breaking up, right? Which part of it is poly and monounsaturated, and which part is saturated. So, like, that all plays into it. But generally, quick and dirty, 25 to 30% is a regular norm.
All right. Well, and also a piece in the news that we had this week is that the guy who created Nautilus died.
Yeah, so, Arthur Jones.
Yeah. So I guess you're either happy or sad because of that. Well, you guys, is there anything else you want to hit on before we head out and go watch some more football tonight?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. Well, I'll wrap it up for episode number 65. Again, don't forget to check out, first off, jimmysmithtraining.com, jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com, Keith Scott. Is it Keith Scott or is it keithscotttraining.com?
Yeah, that's the website.
Okay, and also, Keith, you also have a blog that's Keith.
Yes.
Keith Scott 45.
What's up with that, Keith? You haven't updated that in a minute, bro.
I've been working a lot, 10, 11 hours a day, so I'm having trouble getting to the computer.
Yeah, he's got a day job, you know.
That's a good thing, though.
I'm making money.
It's kind of like I don't get emails at 11:30 in the afternoon from Larrabee, at, you know, asking me to call him. Hey, jobs, pal.
Hey,
shoot on me.
I got late classes. What can I say? And also, don't forget to check out not only GentleCoreTraining.com but TonyGentleCore.blogspot.com. And Tony, also, what's the address for your Boston Herald blog?
That one is BostonHerald.com, and there's a link on their homepage for blogs.
Well, I'll find it and I'll make sure.
Yeah, the name of the blog is, they named it. It's called Step Up, so it's kind of a lame title, but that's what they titled it. But yeah, you'll find a link to it and put it up.
Well, that's good stuff, and that's where we can find the majority.
Tony, I wanted to say this to you because you used to have a little celebrities at your gym. The gym I work out at, John Travolta's training there.
Wow.
Think about that.
Too bad he sucks now.
Dude.
Too bad the only roles he does now is when he's dressed up as
a
50-year-old mom.
Hey, he was good in The Punisher. He was good in The Punisher. We just lost Keith.
Isn't that every week? We just lost Keith. I think he just hung up. He's done with the show. But anyway.
That's kind of cool, though. I always think it's cool to see celebrities. I'm just,
Well, Keith told me he hung out with Peyton Manning, so I guess that trumps all.
Yeah, that's way cool.
I guess that is kind of cool. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. And don't forget to check us out next week. Hopefully, we're going to have a great guest for you. Keep a lookout in your inbox because we're going to be needing some questions for our guest next week. We have like the next month jam full of guests. And last but not least, a shout out to Jen, who is ill this week. She has a sore throat. So, Sorry, Jimmy. Is it all right if I say she's...
No, dude, it's not all right because Tony doesn't get a shout-out when he's in Vegas.
Tony, I gave you a shout-out last week that would end all shout-outs.
So say that, Keith.
Last week? Oh, I didn't listen to it last week.
Keith, I don't know.
Keith is
here. I'm here.
Say that. Say what you just typed to me, Keith, because that was funny.
What, I knew it?
Yeah, you knew Larry was a shout-out.
I was waiting for it.
Well, if any of you guys aren't here, I mentioned it on the show. Like I said, Keith. If Keith wasn't on the show last week, I said,
and you got
Keith.
A ton of mail, right?
Saying, I got at least 55 emails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So for episode number 65, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Gianacore.
I'm Keith Scott.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
We'll see y'all next week. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com and check out everyone's blogs. And... We're tied. Let's go watch some football.